Well, hello everybody, Amanda Van Hyl here, and welcome to episode 30, cannot believe it's been 30 episodes of this show, of the Metroid Shine Sparkers podcast. I'm joined by my friends Roy and Gladrax, and just a few hours ago, there was a Nintendo Direct, and we saw the trailer for the first time, or for the first time since 2017, of Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. Oh, wow, it was beautiful, and we are all here to talk about our reactions to it. All right, so Roy and Gladrax, what did you guys think when you saw it? Were you expecting it?
I had a feeling that this was finally our year. Prime 4 restarted development in 2019 under Retro Studios. It really should have been there from the start. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't have waited this long. But anyway.
Wasn't it with Bandai at first?
That was reported, but never confirmed by Nintendo.
I think so, yeah.
So it had been 5 years since we had any sort of update on Prime 4. I was awake 2 hours early just to be sure I was ready for this direct. And, you know, I was managing my expectations. We're Metroid fans. We're used to disappointment. And this trailer did not disappoint. As soon as it said Cosmic Year 20X7, I was freaking out, screaming. I was in a call with Darren, Leon, and another member of our team, David, at the time. And we were all just blown away by it. Visually, it's breathtaking. The gameplay is all there. I'm such a nerd, I was even reacting to the classic sounds of the power beam and morphing, which have been kept. I think you can't really change them. They're iconic to the series, and it would just sound weird if it were...
Oh, I agree completely. I was the same way. I'm like, oh, it's the Metroid sound. This is beautiful.
What was most epic, it's a completely epic trailer with a new version of the Space Pirates theme. The best part, I'm sure everyone can agree, Psylux.
Yes.
Making his grand entrance.
Yep.
Amazing. With a brand new look.
Yes. Tanabe had hinted that Psylux would be the antagonist, almost 10 years ago now. An interview around the time of Federation Force, he'd said the next Prime game would likely deal with Psylux and his relationship to Samus. So people extrapolated from that that's what would happen in Prime 4, and it's very rewarding to know that we were right. And he looks so awesome. After the trailer came out, there was a clip released by Nintendo on Twitter with the music removed, so you could hear his footsteps. And the little gap in his helmet or visor or whatever lights up, and it makes a sound kind of like Samus's visor in Other M. I'm a nerd. I'm analyzing all these little details here. But yeah.
If somebody is listening to this podcast, they are also a nerd. So it's fine.
That's very true.
Yeah. If you're listening and you're wondering, am I a nerd?
Yes.
It's a safe bet that you are.
You're listening to a Metroid podcast. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What a great trailer. I was really blown away. It was even beyond my expectations, if I can say so.
Ah.
I really wasn't expecting it. I mean, at this point, it was either today or when they show the new system, which should be a matter of month now. So if it wasn't now, it would have been next time. So at this point, it's been, I think that would be 17 years since Prime 3 in August.
Feels like 84.
Yeah, yeah, probably 84. But what can a couple more months do?
We're all old Rose from Titanic. It's been 84 years.
Quite literally, yeah. No, it's really nice. It didn't catch me by surprise as much as Dread, obviously, because we knew this one was coming. Unlike Dread, which was by the way, here's this game we initially announced 20 years ago. But it still had its little effects. I might or might not have lost my mind entirely for a second. Maybe
I saw the clip. You definitely lost your mind.
Yeah, I did. No, it was great. It was really good. The game looks amazing. It seems to be in 60 FPS as well, which is nice. It was one of my worries about the game, that it might have to sacrifice some performance for the sake of good looks, because it's on handheld, but apparently it turns out there's no reason to. It seems to be running very well, and look very well as well. The model seems really nice, especially Psylocke. The environments are really nice as well. And it looks like the music would be at least on par with the previous entries. I really liked what I heard in that final bit when Samus gets out of the weird blue portal thing at the end, I think.
Oh, it was glorious.
In that forest biome environment. Like, the music was really nice. You can tell it was trying really hard to be similar to the original Metroid Prime in terms of feel. And I'm all for it. So it's definitely good. Looking forward to the new suits as well. And of course, seeing more of the gameplay, because we didn't see that much, sadly. They are probably keeping some stuff for later trailers and stuff, so they can keep the hype going. Because so far, they just showed, on the top of my head, power beam, charge beam, missile, morph ball, scan visor, and the little side jump she does when you lock onto an enemy. I think that's it. So nothing really new. They seem to be working as they used to as well. So they didn't really show new gameplay features. So I guess we'll have to wait a bit more for things like that to show. Maybe on the series anniversary. That's what they did for Dread. So who knows?
Yeah, so when I saw the trailer, I was not... So going into the direct, I was expecting we were going to get something Metroid-related, but I did not think we were going to get anything Metroid Prime 4, especially since they originally said it was just going to be games like the later half of this year, and nothing regarding the Switch 2 or Switch successor or whatever. But then they showed the opening of the trailer, and I'm going, this is not Prime 2. This is not Prime 3. This is Prime 4. Oh my gosh. And I was actually, so I was at work. I love how I'm telling myself right now. I was working from home. And so I'm watching, I have the trailer on my phone pulled up so I can like take care of everything. And so I'm glad I didn't have the camera on at that point, because I can just imagine the look on my face. And then by the time work was over, it was just, so how's everybody doing? And I'm just going, I'm doing great. We just got new Zelda and new Metroid announced, so I'm fantastic. But it was just so pretty, just seeing the space pirates and seeing the scan and then seeing Psylocke. And then my favorite, though, was just the very end of it, where we see like the outside part, and it was just so beautiful. And now I want to go there. Like, I could feel it. Like, I could just feel, like, all the humidity on me out there. It was great. It was so just immersive.
A really strong surface of Talon Fall vibes from that place.
Yes.
Yes. If they can come up with an overworld that is on par with Talon 4, then... And to do it with enhanced graphics of this generation, yeah, it's on Switch. But Retro has been able to pull off impressive environmental feats before. To your point about 60 frames per second, the original trilogy was all 60 FPS, even on Skytown. When we did our interview with Jack Matthews, he was describing how that was quite a challenge, but it was one that they managed to make it work. So I imagine that they've done the same thing here.
I am terrible when it comes to figuring out like frames per second, because I just can't see it, I guess. I don't know. I've never been able to see that sort of thing. Whereas everybody else is talking about frame rate and go, okay, that looks cool.
It's generally, I think, people who understand how those sorts of systems work, which I'm certainly not one of them.
I am definitely not. But do we think it's going to be on just the Switch, or do we think this is going to be on the next console?
I think the next console is going to be backward compatible, so I think that's already figured out.
That's probably what they'll do.
So what I think it's going to be is it's going to be like a dual release. So on the regular Switch, as well as on the Switch 2 or whatever. I do think it's going to be backwards compatible, but I think there's going to be some special features for it specifically on the new console, but you can still play it on the regular Switch. But I think to get the full experience, you have to play it on the new console. That's my guess.
Yeah, it would be, if the new console is similar to the Switch with improved performance, you would show the difference between the two consoles with something like Metroid Prime 4, because Metroid Prime tends to be the most graphically advanced series on Nintendo consoles. Well, historically, it's been the case, and it seems like it's still going to be the case. So, yeah, even if they have like some new 3D Mario game or stuff like that, that look really good, that's not necessarily the kind of game you want to use to showcase the improvements in graphics, I think. So Metroid Prime 4 is probably the best case to use for this. And considering it's releasing next year, 2025, with no specific date, I'm guessing this has something to do with the release date of the Switch 2, or whatever it's called, the Super Switch.
The Switcheroo Switch is what I'm calling
the Switcheroo,
it. I'm calling it
the
Switcheroo.
This is their opportunity to call it the Super Nintendo Switch. If they don't do it, then they failed.
Here's a better one. The Switch Prime, featuring Metroid Prime 4, next-gen version. Well, sorry, Metroid Prime 4 beyond next-gen version. No, we can stop calling it Metroid Prime 4. Mm. That's great.
I also have to wonder what the significance of Beyond is. With Echoes, you know, it's a parallel world. With Hunters, there are obviously Hunters following you. Corruption is about the corruption of the solar system, various worlds. Pinball and Federation Force are...
What's Pinball about? What could Pinball be the title of? I can't imagine.
It's about pinball.
Really?
Wow. And the Federation Force centers around...
Federation what?
The Federation Force. Well, that's if you consider it an actual Metroid game.
It has Metroid in the title. Of course it is.
I am relieved to see that they didn't stick with the chibi art style.
Oh my gosh.
I had a very, very small fear that they might have released the trailer as a troll with the chibi art style from Federation Force. And
can you imagine a Prime game done in like that cutesy chibi art style?
The outrage that would follow. I mean, everything outrages people nowadays, but this...
I would love to see that outrage.
I kind of wish they would do it just so that it would piss off a lot of people, because anything can do that now.
It's true.
But thankfully, they've gone for a more realistic art style. Samus looks more like an actual human, which some people may like that, some may not. Her suit looks like it doesn't pull her arms out of her sockets anymore. It
looks like an actual suit.
That's what it did in the last games, including Corruption. If you compare the Zero suit and Varia model, there's no way she's fitting in that.
Yeah, it looks like an actual suit and not just a clunky robot.
Yeah, something someone can actually cosplay and it looks like the real thing.
Like, my husband saw the trailer and he's going, I'm getting some Halo vibes. And I'm like, no, more like Halo has Metroid vibes.
Well.
I seriously had somebody refer to Samus as Lady Master Chief. And I'm like, oh, no. Samus came first. Master Chief is Mr. Samus, okay?
A long time before as well.
Exactly. I'm like, no, that is not Lady Master Chief.
There is one solution to that person, and that is immediate flogging in the public square. My God, Lady Master Chief.
And I'm just like, no, honey, no.
There's a couple of cardinal sins as a Metroid fan. The first is referring to Samus as Metroid. The second is flipping an image of her so that her arm cannon is on the left arm. And the third is calling her Lady Master Chief.
I think Lady Master Chief is really the worst out of all three.
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
Because at least she does turn into a Metroid in Dread, so you can kind of get away with saying it now. Or she's got that DNA going through her.
I do remember that animation from, God, years ago of Samus fighting Master Chief. It was a fan animation. Eventually their armor comes off and they both flee the scene together, and there's this tender moment between the two of them and Master Chief, and this one is a woman. Now I look at that and I think, what was this person thinking? I don't know if it's even still online anymore.
I haven't seen it, but I have a hard time putting Samus with, like, Master Chief or, like, Doom Guy or anybody like that. It's like, no, Samus needs somebody who is, like, soft and understanding, not another hard ass.
Yeah.
I put way too much thought in these sorts of things.
Speaking of looking more like humanoid, Psylocke actually does now. His helmet looks like a head can actually fit inside now. Because it used to be so thin before. That was a bit weird. So he's got nice improvements on his suit design, because he used to be just a bunch of polygons stick together in Metroid Prime Hunters, because he first appeared on a DS game. I like how they still stayed true to the original design while still making it work and making it more modern looking, I guess. So it's really nice.
It's an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved the two little Metroids that were on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Ah, Metroids or Mocktroids?
Were they Metroids or were they Mocktroids? Because yeah. I couldn't tell.
I think they are Mocktroids.
Okay, so are they definitely Mocktroids? Because I wasn't positive.
I think so, but we only see them for like a couple of seconds, so it's hard to be 100% sure.
Yeah, but that's what I was thinking. I mean, I guess they could be just angry Metroids.
Metroids usually have three nuclei. Maybe they've merged together and it's like a sub-variant species or the result of him cloning the one Metroid that he stole.
They're mad Metroids.
Something else I was thinking about. Hunters came out in 2005.
Oh, God.
And Prime 4 will come out in 2025. So
oh, my gosh,
there's been
20 years.
A 20-year gap between Hunters and Prime 4.
Someone who was born when Hunters came out could have a kid by now.
Oh, no, stop. Stop it.
Don't even. No.
Oh, no. Metroid fans have been eating good lately. Metroid Dread, Metroid Prime Remastered. Now this? Well, it's still a bit early to judge, but so far so good.
I think we're pretty optimistic because it's the original team. Plenty of new blood, as well as a few of the veterans from the original series. So I have every confidence that it's going to be amazing.
I mean, everything they showed looked fantastic.
Yes.
I do wish, though, that they would still just, even if they're not like remasters, just port over Prime 2 and 3, just for the convenience of me not having to get my Wii U out to play them.
I think they are coming. They had to show Prime 4 this time. Like, they had to. It's been too long, and it's very likely going to be the last big tentpole of the Switch 1. So Prime 2 and 3, what I think they'll do is they'll show more of Prime 4 later on, and then as part of the presentation, kind of like what they did with Pikmin 2 to 4, they showed off Pikmin 4, and then, oh, by the way, you can play 2 and 3 starting after this presentation. They'll probably shadow drop Echoes and Corruption on the same day. And then you can have the whole quadrilogy on Switch. While they're at it, they also need to port Hunters, because that's the game that introduced Psylocke. So we need to have that as well.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to play Hunters, because that came out when I was in college, and I didn't get to play a lot of stuff.
It's nice.
I want to play it. It's been on my list.
The solo campaign is not the best, but it's all right. The multiplayer was really fun. Psylocke was broken.
Yes.
Trace as well. Oh, speaking of Trace and Hunters, I wonder if we're going to see the Krikan Empire in, well, maybe not this one, but we've just finally seen Metroid Prime 4, and I'm already thinking of, like, Metroid Prime 5. The game isn't even out yet. But, like, the Krikan Empire would be a cool antagonist to have. They have been setting up Psylocke for, like, what, two games now? Like, they started it 20 years ago and now he's finally here. I don't see him going away in that game. I don't think we're going to kill him. But considering he appeared in the same game that Trace appeared, it would make sense to introduce the Krikan Empire as well. And maybe some more hunters at the same time, like Noxus and Spire are nice guys, if I recall. There's Weevil also.
Nice.
Oh, Weevil, yeah. Considering Psylux is with the Space Pirates now, that would make him an ally of Weevil. Maybe Psylux can borrow his bike or something.
Yes. Something I wanted to add. Back in 2020, we did an interview with the story designer of Hunters, Richard Verodi, and we asked him about Psylux because we wanted to know if there were plans for Psylux in the future, considering he was in those two endings. And Richard said, "We have a great backstory written up for Psylux. There's a lot of threaded storytelling in there that made using the character in other games a good fit. I would love to tell you what's going on under that suit." He did not tell us what was going on under that suit, but after we get our answer to that, I would like to follow up with him and ask him, is this accurate? And he'll either go, yes, or it's changed. Well, assuming he'll tell me. But yeah, that's exciting. My biggest hope for Psylux, and I may have mentioned this before on the podcast, don't make him a generic space terrorist.
Oh, no, no.
I think Metroid is overdue for a more complex, morally complex villain. Every villain that we've had so far, they're a villain either because they're a space terrorist, you know, they want to take over the galaxy and rule by fear, or they're a creature propagating its survival. The SAX is an example. But we've never had a villain we could feel some...
They were just 100% villain.
A villain you can understand, like, where they're coming from.
Yeah, maybe an understandable reason why he hates the Federation. Maybe they accidentally killed his entire family, or he was the result of an illegal experiment or something.
So kind of like Magneto in X-Men.
Yeah, some people also think that he could be Samus's brother, based on this... Nintendo Power fan fiction campaign that they did in the 90s called Blood of the Chozo. Fans would just submit ideas for a narrative and they would kind of all blend together. They had a brief backstory for Samus which indicated that she had a 4-year-old brother named Solomon who was missing and presumed dead. Now, she's never been mentioned to have a brother in any other media. And I don't think anyone considers Blood of the Chozo canon. But some people have thought, ooh, maybe he could be her brother. Solomon wouldn't like be the inspiration necessarily, because I don't think Blood of the Chozo is that well known to even Nintendo. Another theory, which is less likely, is that it's Adam Malkovich's brother Ian, who died during the flashback in Other M in an explosion. The theory with that is that he's going to have a sort of Winter Soldier arc, thought to be dead, but ultimately revived through technology, and maybe he resents the Federation for leaving him to die. We really don't know at this point, but I hope it's something layered, like Richard said, and that makes us really care for... Care isn't the right word. You know, like the villain, and something that puts him on par and maybe surpass Ridley, Dark Samus, and all of our favorite villains.
I like that idea. I like a villain where you're like, okay, I get where you're coming from. Nope, I'm not going to go on your side, but I see how I easily could.
Yeah, the previous ones you just couldn't. They were just evil, either neutral evil or chaotic evil or evil evil.
I'm evil. Why are you evil? Because I'm evil.
Basically, Mother Brain. I want to kill everyone now. Oh, wow. Okay. Dark Samus was a bit more different because she started as just a beast and became really, really smart as she absorbed Phazon. But at the end of the day, she just wanted to control everything through Phazon. So she's a bit more like the ex-parasites on that aspect, I suppose. She did, based on some of the space pirate messages from Metroid Prime 3, I think that was outside the game, but she made herself
look like a god to them. So she was probably enjoying it at some point. But yeah, they've been mostly just evil on like different ways. Like Ridley was just sadistic and wanted to kill everyone. Mother Brain wanted to establish a new order on the galaxy and be the leader of it. Didn't really end well. And yeah, Dark Samus and SAX were all about survival and like being the dominant species. So yeah, Psylocke could be more interesting on that aspect. Just know he hates Samus and the Federation, and that he stole his equipment and ship from the Federation. But that's about it. Hopefully we'll figure out what he's up to and why he needed Metroids as well.
It'll also be nice to kill Metroids again, because as of Dread, they're now extinct, apart from Samus.
Yeah, and the ones in Prime 3 are a bit different as well, since they're a Phazon.
Yeah, these ones will be more classic Metroids without the influence of Phazon. Unless through some plot twist we find out that actually Phazon still exists. But I think not, because Tanabe said that story arc was finished.
Yeah, if he kept Psylocke, he probably didn't change his mind on Phazon as well. Which is fine. We had it for 3 games. I think it had a nice conclusion.
Yeah.
We literally blew up another planet for this. So
that's what, 5 planets she's blown up now? And 2 space stations?
Yeah.
Maybe the real terrorist has been Samus this whole time.
Maybe.
Like how Jessica Fletcher killed them all, Samus was the true villain of Metroid.
All right, so because this all happened right after the Nintendo Direct, we don't have any mailbag responses to read out. However, we are going to take new mailbag responses, and we are going to ask you this. What do you think of the trailer for Metroid Prime 4? Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Shine Sparkers podcast. It was so great getting to talk about Metroid Prime 4. And we'll see you next mission.
See you next mission.
See you next mission. I'm guessing this has to do something with this. This has something to do.
Her suit, at the very least, looks like it no longer pulls her arms from her sockets. Her suit looks like, I have cousins that were born the year Prime 4 was released and are now 7 years old.
Prime 4 was released?
Prime 4? When? Really? You've got cousins from the future?
Revealed.
Revealed.
Time travel confirmed in Metroid Prime 4 Beyond.
I'm tired.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for watching. I just said watching. Sorry. Used to doing. I was just doing a Zelda one. Alrighty.
They would be watching if it was on YouTube.
Maybe this they're watching the soundbar thing on the website.
There we go. Thank you for watching the soundbar thing on the website.
The Shine Sparkers podcast is edited by Stefan Wells with music from Maserati. If you enjoyed what you heard, we hope you'll consider following us on our social media pages. We're on Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. For the latest Metroid news, interviews, community features, and other exclusive content, visit our website at shinesparkers.net. See you next mission.